my sister's moving back.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. I'm so happy.
I have to say that to somebody, you know?
I'm on warfare. Let me ask
all day long, I've been like squelching it in my office, like, don't say it. She'll be back probably in about 2 weeks.
Praise
at
God.
The longest. So she might be watching. Hi. All right. Why don't we stand to our feet? I can just tell our hearts are ready to enter in, so let's do so. Lord God, we come to you to praise you, to worship you. You're so worthy of our praise, Lord. So we just want to sing out, Lord. We want to worship you in spirit and in truth.
All right. I know you guys aren't going to like me doing this, but you guys are so far back there. Why don't you guys kind of move up a little bit? Kind of let's make this sanctuary feel like it's like so tight and we're all next to each other. So just come on, just scoot up a little bit. Plus, I can't see you guys back there. What? So we are back together. It's really exciting. I will tell you that I've missed you guys. 2 weeks is a long time. It's a long time. And as I was sitting there, as we were worshiping, I was just so getting into the worship and just kind of feeling like, I came in with such weight, and I know that probably a lot of you have it. I heard a lot of sighs, and it's just good to be back. It's good to be worshiping together, and so welcome back, everybody, even those people that are watching the tape. Welcome back. So I just have a few quick announcements, and then we're going to have Denise come up and do the teaching. Okay, women's retreat. For those of you that have known me, I am a retreat junkie. I love women's retreats, and our retreat is going to be at the end of April. I will tell you, I emailed Christine and asked her, how are we doing on registration? And she said, it's going really good. And as you know, and I think we've talked about it, is that we have a little bit less space. So unless you guys want to be put on a waiting list, you guys need to sign up. It's $50 for a deposit, and then you can make payments. Something new this year, and it's really neat because Rosalind and I were kind of talking about something like this. And those people that have never been on a retreat, my experience is I got saved, and 3 months later I was in the sanctuary, and they made an announcement for a retreat, and I'm like, I told Sam, I want to go to that. I didn't know anyone. I signed up. They put me in a room. I found somebody to drive up with, and the Lord just totally blessed it. What they've done this year, which I think is so cool, is that on the registration form, there's a little section that says, first time on the retreat with us. They're going to have greeters that when you come in to register, if you've never been to the facility or just want somebody to show you around, connect with someone, it's a great way. So don't feel like if you've never come on a retreat, you're not going to know anyone. And two, I will tell you something, we will pray that as we put the room assignments, if you've checked that, we're going to really, I know the ladies that place those girls in the rooms, they're going to really put you in with some neat ladies. So really trust the Lord, and I encourage you guys to come because I've only had great experiences. Another thing, too, is on Wednesday nights at 5:30 in room 303, Margie is coordinating the prayer team for the women's retreat. So if you want to come out ahead of time, they are going to be praying for every single woman by name that have signed up. So that's like an awesome thing. So if you want to be involved in that. Next thing on my agenda. Okay, we're really getting pretty cool on our little flyers. Easter service. This is really, I know one lady asked for several. She's been passing them out all over the place. Invite a friend. Invite someone that you know doesn't want to go to church, but you know that they'll come to something like this. I have someone that we're praying in our family to invite, and we're just waiting for the Lord to have that boy get there. So I encourage you, just really invite someone. Last, there is a ministry called Solutions. Basically, across the street, there is actually a transitional home setting. And what that means is it's for families that maybe have been displaced, and it's like an in-between time until they can get back into regular housing. The churches in the area and different organizations provide meals. They have a facility to sleep, but they have no cooking. But there is Calvary Vista, there is a group of several women that are involved in this. They do it twice a month. Basically, they cook for this group, and they go over and they serve it. They get to minister. And they're looking for a few ladies. It's not a big group, but you're doing it twice a month. So if that's something that you would be interested in coming alongside a few other women. They make the meal, they take it over there, and they actually get to talk with the people. And I was talking to one of the ladies that's involved, and she said there are several families that are now coming to the church because of that. So if that's, and it's, like I said, and it's twice a month, it's if you can help one time, we'd like you to be able to help, you know, consistently, but whatever your availability is, there's a sign up. It's called Solutions. And I think that's it. Denise?
Welcome, Denise.
Ha, it is good to be back together. How many of you went to your Koinonia night? Most of you? Those are always so much fun, huh? That's great. I'm glad you had an opportunity for that. And hopefully many of you were able to join us for our Monday of prayer and fasting last week. And yes, turn off those cell phones. Funny, there was a day when we didn't have cell phones. And I guess it was pagers before that, huh? Yeah. Anyways, well, today was a fun day, interesting day. It was Rob's day off, and he mentioned to me a couple weeks ago that, because he's the one that's really creative, romantic, thoughtful, and he usually plans our day. And he was like, you know, we should switch it up sometimes. I think you should plan one. So I was like, okay. So I took this week, and I was a little nervous about it. Some of you know my history of date making. Don't always go well. So I decided we would take, what's it called, the Metrolink from Oceanside to San Clemente with our bikes and go bike riding, right? So I'm so excited. It took me forever to organize it. I don't understand. There's coasters, the breeze, the Metrolink, the train, and some go anyway. So it was a lot of work for me. I was really nervous. So he didn't know where we were going. We threw the bikes in the truck and got to the metro station, and everything's going great, and I'm so excited because I have a plan, and it's working. And it's just like 20 minutes to San Clemente. It's really fun. And anyways, okay, so the train is pulling up to San Clemente, and so we get up to go to our bikes while it's still moving. Well, we couldn't, before we could even get out the door shut, and we couldn't get off the thing. And I'm so thankful that I didn't get off before he got off. I would have been in tears. Because I had a phone, he didn't, it would have been miserable. So we're just like we're just shocked. We're just like, it was the quickest stop. I could not believe it. So we're like, well, now what? Okay, it's an adventure. Here we go. So we go to San Juan Capistrano is the next one, right? And we're like, okay, now what are we going to do? Because our ticket was San Clemente, and our heads are spinning. And, well, it was really cool because I'm giving you ideas for dates. If you, your ticket from Metrolink, you can ride shuttle buses for free. So we rode our bike to a bus, and we got on a bus, and we went back to San Clemente. And okay, so now we're doing good. We're riding our bikes. We're having a great time. If any of you haven't eaten at Selma's Pizza Place in San Clemente, it has the best deep dish pizza ever in the world. So we're doing great. We went to the beach. We're reading. We're enjoying ourselves. And he's like, so what time is the train leave to go back? I'm like, 3:30. He goes, okay, let's take one more spin on our bikes. Well, we're riding our bikes, and all of a sudden, guess what? There goes Metrolink train. Rob's like, what just happened? And I'm like, ah! I mean, I literally just screamed. I'm like, we're both watching the glee. We're like, now what? And it was a moment of, I told you, every time I teach, I get tested on it. I think Rob was tested on his love for me in that moment. But anyway, so we just, instead of stressing, we just started laughing about it. And we're like, okay, we'll still make it. So needless to say, we barely got home, took the quickest shower I've ever had. I think my hair's still wet. But we had a blast, a fun day. So I was a little frazzled when I got here. But it was a day where I was really thinking about love, because I'm in love, and love songs. And I want my little groupie girls to come back up here, because, you know, we're talking about love in 1 John chapter 4. You can turn there with me, please, 1 John chapter 4. And there was a song that the Beatles sang back in the 60s that really, I think, is an anthem of the human soul. Hit it, girls.
All you need is love. Dun, 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 dun.
All you need is love. Dun, 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 dun. All you need is...
You know, everyone needs love, searches for love, but too often they're looking for love in all the wrong places, and I won't sing that one for you. But you know, ladies, the reality is that we know what they're looking for. What they're looking for is the love of God. And for you and I, as I considered just the reality of the love of God for me, was I hope this week you really contemplated that and thought about that and rejoiced in it, that you and I, we know true love. We know the love of the Father, the perfect, pure, genuine love. And we have the privilege of abiding in that love. In other words, to just get comfortable, you know, like when you just get in your jammies and you snuggle up. It's that kind of relationship that the Father wants: intimacy, comfortable, familiarity. And we get to experience that on a daily basis in a lifetime relationship. Now, our beloved John here, who is a very strong exhorter of truth in love, he goes on in this chapter to exhort us that we're not only to live in his love, but we are to live out his love by loving one another. And John repeats that phrase, love one another, 4 times in chapter 4. Just love one another, love one another, love one another, love one another. They go hand in hand. So we're going to take a brief look at each point that John makes here, and we're going to pick up in verse 7. And the first point is, if you're taking notes, God is the source of love. God is the source of love. Girls, come back up. I didn't tell you about this one. I think you know it. Come on. We're having fun tonight, right? Now, I'm a worship leader, so when I read the word, I'm always, I love scripture and all the songs that are scripture songs. I get all excited and start singing them. So I know a lot of you know this, and I didn't prepare them for this one, but we're gonna sing verse 7 and 8. Here we go. Beloved, let us love John 4, 7, and 8. How many of you knew that? The old timers here. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Good job. Okay. You're doing a great job. Okay. You should do that. Think about it as you read scripture. So much of that is put to song. You know, I think all of us would admit that in our humanity, in our flesh, we fail miserably at loving one another. You know, we might do okay for a few shining moments, temporarily, but no matter how hard we try, we fail. It's not something that we can teach ourselves. It's not something we can develop on our own. We can't muster it up from within us. Not God's love. His love is beyond our human effort or nature. So the only way that we can truly love one another is by being connected to that source of love. It's like electricity. Just like electricity runs through electrical wires in order to energize our homes, the love of God flows through our bodies in order to love one another. So God in you can, ladies, can love through you. And you know what? He will love through you as you abide in his love. There's some cooperation going on there. We are to live through him and we are to love through him. So what does God's love look like? What does God's love look like? Verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, or the atoning sacrifice for our sin. So the second point that John makes is that God models true love. God models true love. It's sacrificial. It's costly. You and I were going to die. We were going to be eternally separated from God for eternity. But God loved us so much that he chose to give his only begotten Son. He chose for Jesus to be the atoning sacrifice, to pay the price so that you and I could have life. Think about that. Think about what God the Father went through as he watched his beloved son endure sorrow and pain and heartache and rejection and abuse and betrayal. He willingly laid the sins of the world upon the shoulders of his son, and his son willingly was crucified and died on that cross of shame. And it was all because of love. And what is important for us to see here is that we didn't deserve his love. It says that he loved us before we loved him. We didn't earn it. As a matter of fact, we were his enemies. We were in opposition to him. We were sinners. We were unlovely and unlovable. And God has modeled for us what true agape love is. It's going to be sacrificial. There will be a cost. We have known God's mercy. We have experienced grace and forgiveness and long-suffering. And now he wants this kind of love to flow through you and I. You see, God is not impressed when we love the lovable or when we love those that love us back. That's a no-brainer. That's easy. That's fun. When people are kind and caring and giving and considerate, there's no self-sacrifice in that kind of love. It doesn't cost us anything. Loving the lovable comes easy. What does impress God, what does get his attention, is when we love the unlovable, the unattractive, the undeserving, the unworthy, those who hurt us, those who take advantage of us, those who betray us. Yes, even those who hate us, those that are our enemies. You know, I would imagine that some of you right now are thinking of a particular person in your life, and you're saying to yourself, oh, I can't love that person. If you only knew that person, if you only knew what they have done to me, how they've wounded me, if you knew how much pain and sorrow they have afflicted upon my life, the cruel and harsh words that they've spoken to me, then you wouldn't be able to love them either. Well, John gives us the answer to those thoughts, and I think we can all struggle with those thoughts at times. But this is important that we catch this, what John says. Let's read on and see how he answers that in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now that word ought doesn't mean, you know, you really should consider it or you really should think about it. That word ought means to owe. To owe. We owe love. It's a moral and spiritual obligation. The Apostle Paul made reference to this in Romans 1:14 when he says, I am a debtor to every man. A debtor to every man. And then he goes on to expound on that truth in chapter 13, verse 8, when he said, owe no one anything except to love one another. For she who loves another has fulfilled the law. I like the New Living Translation. It says, pay all your debts except the debt of love for others. You can never finish paying that. So John's third point here for us, girls, is that God commands love. He commands it. We owe it. It is not a choice. And I think we get deceived sometimes into thinking that it's a choice. And it's not. Jesus taught us in Matthew 5, verse 43 through 40, you have heard that the law of Moses says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust too. If you love only those who love you, what good is that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So when we love the people around us who don't deserve it, and when we love them first, ooh, that's a hard one, isn't it? Because we also, we play with our mind. We, you know, our flesh nature is just really deceiving. And it's like, okay, I will love that person once they do this or once they respond that way. Then I will love them. No. You know, what was the model of our Father? He loved us first before we loved him. So we love them first before they love us. Then we are fulfilling God's greatest command and really our utmost calling. It's a high calling. I think of that song, you don't have to come up for this one, but unless you want to. You know that old song, love your call, right? Love your neighbor. No one has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. So the fourth point that John makes is that God's love has been perfected in us. Now, that doesn't mean, and I know you already know this, that we're going to be able to love perfectly, that we're going to always do it right, that we're not going to make mistakes. No, that is not possible until we're finally in his presence and we're not dealing with our sin nature anymore and that struggle. It's only that word perfected means to be completed or to be fulfilled. And you know, that's only possible by obedience, by choosing to love and allow his love to flow through us. In other words, it's completed when it's used. Does that make sense? If we're loving one another, we are going to be perfected. That love will be perfected in us. You know, the world takes notice when God's love flows through our lives because it's strange. It's foreign. They're like, wow, you know. They do notice because it is so different from the world's kind of love. You know, most people aren't acquainted with the Gospel of Matthew or Luke or John, but they are reading the Gospel according to you. So what do the pages read? Love is our strongest love, above all love. You're all familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the chapter on love. And Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, if I don't have this agape, this love, it profits me nothing. Though I prophesy and understand all mysteries, I have all knowledge, but I don't have love, it profits me nothing. Though I sacrifice and sell all I have and give to the poor and offer my own body to be burned, but I have not love, I am nothing. And then Paul goes on to describe what love is and how we are to respond and react. Love suffers long and is kind, envies not. Whew, I don't know what that's supposed to say. What would be the next one? Because I'm reading on my typing and it's wrong. Anyways, not puffed up, doesn't seek its own way, is not provoked, thinks no evil, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So the reality of that in our lives is that ministry without love, nothing. Marriage without love, nothing. Parenting without love, nothing. Life without love, nothing. Nothing. Love is what God is interested in because God is love. And we are a reflection of when we love others with God's love, his love is perfected. It's completed and fulfilled in our lives. The invisible God becomes visible. I like that. There's no greater adventure for us to live in this life. I mean, think, what a great calling. The invisible God is made visible through you and through me. Amazing. So, God is the source of love, the model of love. He commands love. He perfects love. But that's not all. Number four, God enables us to love. Let's pick up in verse 13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. Literally, you could say he has given us out of his spirit, or he has poured out from his spirit into our lives. Paul said in Romans 5:5, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So throughout our days, as we interact with our spouse and with our children and our coworkers and our friends and the unlovable and the people that irritate us and hurt us and wrong us, you know, we get drained, don't we? We get poured out. By the end of the day, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty drained. Just being aware and trying to please the Lord and walk in that and love one another, you know, we get poured out. So it's vital that we come to the Lord daily and ask for a refilling of His Spirit. Make that a habit. If you don't do that, make that a daily habit in the morning where you just say, Lord, here I am. Cleanse me. Fill me, empower me for the day. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Have your way, but Lord, I desperately need you because I can't do it without you. And if that would become the habit in our lives, oh, the Lord responds to that. You know, Jesus told us that his Father loves to give the Spirit to anyone who asks. That's a great gift to ask for. He responds to that. He meets us in our need. So it needs to be a habit that we come to Him. Fill me, empower me, use me. We need to stay connected. We need to admit that we can't do it on our own. And with that, girls, come on up. This one's a fun one. I think you need to stand up for this one. Stand up. We've been talking about how we need to be connected, right? If we want to bear fruit, the fruit of love in our lives, we have to be connected to the vine. So, here we go. He is the vine, he is the vine, and we are the branches. All right, let's keep moving along here. Verse 14. Okay, you girls that are watching at home, you better have cooperated and taken part in that. Let's pick up at verse 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But she who fears has not been made perfect in love. So the fifth point is that God's love gives assurance. God's love gives assurance. You know, if we are loving one another, then we will love his appearing. We are not going to be worried that when we face him, when we see him face to face, we're not going to worry about, you know, are we going to be ashamed at his appearing? We're going to know that, you know what, I'm not perfect, you know, I'm still a work in progress, but I'm seeing the fruit, I'm seeing God flow through my life, and so we can love his appearing. We're excited about it. Because we will hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in. And so there's assurance when we are abiding in that love. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Listen carefully. The victory in Christian living is not based upon our efforts to try to imitate him or responding to his command. It is to recognize his willingness and his power to do all that he commands in us. That is so key. It's not about us. We are just the instrument. And when we catch that, it brings such joy and excitement that we're just the vehicle that he can work through. And he is more than willing and has more than enough power to do that work through our lives. It is Christ living in me, the hope of glory. You know, if you struggle to really accept the love of God in your life, and I know some of you probably here do, and I think that happens because we're so used to how the world loves us, which is based upon how we are, and you know, it's based upon our works and all of that. And if you're struggling with that, you know, I really encourage you that you need to get some intimate time away with the Lord. And it's so important that we come to that place where we quit looking at us. Because if we're looking at us, we're never worthy to be loved. But it's not about us. It's about the love of God. And it's so important that we believe it, that we accept that, and we, you know, take the plunge. Just take the plunge and just enjoy the love of God. Believe it. Get comfortable in it, because that is His heart for you. It brings freedom. It brings joy. If you struggle and doubt God's love, He loves you. He loves you. And you know, love casts out fear. It casts out fear for the future, when we're going to stand before Him on the day of judgment, when you know, our works are judged, whether they are eternal or whether they're going to burn up. So love casts out that fear for the future, but it also casts out fear right now, because it tells us that fear involves torment. And that word for torment, it's punishment. And it comes from a root word which means to limit or restrain. Oh, isn't that what fear does in our lives? Limits us. It restrains us. Fear imprisons us. It narrows the way we see things and think. It binds us. It puts limitations on our life. Fear pushes us into corners and keeps us there so that we can't live as God intended us to live. But perfect love casts out fear. So when John says this, that she who fears is not perfected in love, I believe what he is saying is that if we choose not to love, that it hinders us from God's love being completed in us. Does that make sense? Whether it's pride or self-pity or unforgiveness, we get bound up and then we're tormented and restrained, afraid to take risks, to get hurt, to be vulnerable. Oh, man, that is our flesh nature. We all struggle with that. Once we've been hurt, we just want to recoil, and just protection mode goes in. And that is not the way of agape love. It bottles us up, oppressed and tormented, and boy, we miss out. Love is the antagonist of fear, and fear the antagonist of love. Either we will let fear grip our hearts, or we're going to let love rule our hearts. It's our decision. It's our choice. When we love, fear is cast out. Love is the soul-searching moral test of true Christianity. And I think we get put to the test quite often in this life, don't we? And many times, very unexpected. And often by the people we never dreamed would be the people that end up hurting us, offending us, sinning against us. And then we've got that choice. Are we going to obey? Are we going to say, Lord, I can't do this, but I'm willing for you to do it through me? I had a situation the past few years that literally I just didn't think I would ever see victory. It was just so hard to love this person. God loves us enough, and His Holy Spirit convicts us enough, that He just keeps dealing with that. He keeps putting us to the test to go, look, I can show you. You can't, but I can do this through you. And I've recently had such victory. And you know the emotional bondage. We're the ones that it hurts the most, because, you know, it just rules our thought life. We play it over and over. We just get, that's what it does. It torments us. But we can be free from that. Love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. So you're not going to do it perfectly. But if you're willing and you will take the steps, and you know what? It's probably going to take more than one time because, like in my, you know, you don't usually get the response you want right away, do we? You know? And so then we go, okay, I tried, forget it. I'm not doing it again. And then you do the whole wrestling with the Lord because we want to please, and okay. And we do it again, and you know? And what's going on when I'm doing that? I'm being perfected. I'm being completed. The love of God is being, and he wants to do that in all of our lives, doesn't he? And I know he's done it in yours. I think we could all stand up and tell of a victory. But I also think there's a lot of you that are defeated right now, and you're struggling with just the fear of man, the fear of rejection, the fear of being vulnerable, maybe the fear of the circumstance you're in right now. Some of you are in hard, hard circumstances, hard marriages. Call out, Lord, I'm desperate. And he will meet you. And his love will flow through you. Perfect love casts out fear. Let's pray. So in awe of your love for us. Lord, we admit that we don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. But Lord, we take hold of it. And Lord, for the gals in this room that just deal with doubt of whether you really, really, really do love them. Lord, for all of us, Lord, you permit hard circumstances and hard people in our life to transform us, to perfect us. And so, Lord, help us to step out in obedience and walk in faith and allow you to just flow through us, Lord. Whatever the cost, whatever the sacrifice, Lord, you did it for us. You did it for me. Leads us in a little worship. Just keep your eyes closed. I would encourage you, for each one of you, to be thinking of the specific thing that you're afraid of. If it's a person, if it's your marriage, if it's the circumstance that you're in, whatever it is that binds you up, that torments you, as we worship, I want to encourage you to confess it and give it over to the Lord and allow him to take that from you and allow him to minister to you by his Spirit in that. Okay, perfect love casts out fear. So whom shall we fear? We don't have to fear. You might need someone to pray with before you go into your groups. So I want you to really encourage you that the prayer team's available. I'm available afterwards. And so if you need that, come on up and take part and take advantage of that. Okay, let's sing that chorus one more time, Jamie. And then you guys are Tim's.